When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, Ryan Hickey is hanging out with us in studio for a second segment, so don't turn off your radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. If you missed it in the last hour, Hickey got engaged over the weekend, so congratulations to Ryan Hot Take Hickey. You guys are probably going to have a big wedding, right? Because your dad is one of 10?
One of 10.
Oh my God.
That's right. So, yeah, the Hickey clan is growing by the minute.
Are both your dad's parents still living?
My grandpa is. My grandma, unfortunately, no.
Oh, sorry about that.
But my grandpa is alive and well, soon to be 91 this year, next month.
Same parents for all 10 children?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Within 10 kids, within like 18 years.
18 years?
My dad was a senior in high school when his youngest brother was born.
Like, for example, if this is going to be weird because I'm going to be asking about your grandparents creating your dad and then
a lot of my friends that were exposed to my family for the first time had similar questions.
But for example, if you have like three kids in 6 years, right? Mm-hmm. The six-year-old is not gonna, like, you don't have to hide from the six-year-old mommy and daddy, you know, getting it on because the kid goes to bed early. You said it's a span of 18 years?
That's right.
So like what, how did they
I don't know.
Do it? question.
No idea. I don't ask those questions. I don't know.
Hey, Grandpa, I got a question.
Whenever they found the time, I guess.
That's crazy.
Worked out.
How did your grandmother or your grandfather cook all those people?
That's another great question. It's a full-time job. I guess you got what you got at that point.
Did they both work?
My grandpa did. My grandma did not because you basically had, there's always someone at home you had to watch, feed, care for.
If you had a family night out. For example, they went to the local restaurant. What, did they have to get a limo, a bus?
They would tell stories. They would somehow cram all in into like whatever car they had. It would be a tight squeeze. So they couldn't go too far, I guess.
That's probably the crazy. And so you have 9 aunts and uncles?
Yes.
Okay. And do they all have kids?
All but one.
Oh, my God.
There are 23 cousins.
You're going to have the largest family photos ever at a wedding.
A lot of people to get organized. A
lot of people.
Get that wide lens on the camera.
So do you think that the majority of the people at your wedding will be family? Or is it, and then you'll have a smaller wedding because of that? Or you're just going to say, we already have to do it big for the family, so let's just supersize it. And then you're going to have a gigantic royal wedding, kind of.
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, we'd obviously want our friends and family there. So,
yeah.
But I think it's, I guess also now, I hate to say it, cost prohibitive, or maybe cost could be prohibitive. We'll see.
One of those 10 aunts, uncles aren't loaded.
No, they're not getting the boot. No, they're not getting the boot.
No, I'm not saying that, but not one of them hit the jackpot maybe financially where they could help out their nephew?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not going to ask them for that.
If one of them's a billionaire, who knows?
No, unfortunately, Steve Jobs, RIP, or anyone, Steve Ballmer is probably the better example I should have used there. Is
go
not
right for the dead people. Jesus.
Is not a Hickey descendant. That would have been nice.
And does Lauren have a big family or no?
No, she does not, especially comparatively. her and her brother. She has one aunt, a couple cousins.
That's got to be intimidating the first time you brought her around for like a big family function.
I give her credit. Yeah. No, it's a lot to ask. I mean, easy for me, obviously, but I give her a lot of credit. She'd run away. I probably would have if roles were reversed and I had to walk into a setting of like 40 Clarks, all these cousins, all these aunts, uncles, names I have to remember that you're not going to remember, but you try to remember anyway. Tough.
Is Ryan Clark related to her at all?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not.
Just had to ask.
You never, no, I've not, maybe, but I've not seen Ryan Clark at any Clark family function just yet.
Okay. I was going to say that you can't invite Tiki to the wedding.
Well,
they got a little beef in the streets.
Yeah. From Ryan Clark's had beef with a lot of people, I guess, apparently.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
That would a lot of lines would be drawn if that was the case.
So before we talk college football here, because I want to do a little college football, a little NBA draft with you. Last thing on the wedding. When you look back at the whole engagement, what the heck was I just going to ask you? This is the second time I've done this today.
Ooh, that's the worst.
No, I just had a, I remember. What was your big take that you had on Twitter about the timing of this wedding?
Oh, well, I'm just not a fan of fall weddings in general, but my girlfriend said something, fiance said something the other day that
that's
was
the
wild.
Second time you did that.
It just happened. We were dating for 8 years. I called my girlfriend. Now all of a sudden I'm supposed to magically, every time I'm reference her and call her my fiance.
Don't
now.
Don't be surprised when you walk into that apartment tonight, she punches you in the face.
It's still very, you know, takes some getting used to.
Has she called you your boyfriend since that, or does she say my fiance?
Well, I haven't been in a setting where she's had to use that term.
Okay.
So I don't know. She may be worse than me for all we know.
They don't let Hickey out during normal hours of the day.
Well, if we're both there, I'm not going to be like, oh, here's my fiance. It's Lauren. Just like, here she is.
Okay.
Sorry, what's your question? I forgot.
What is this?
Dumb and Dumber?
It's like the Joe Biden segment on the Infinity Sports Network. No, I asked you about the timing of the wedding.
She was telling me that up until September 21st, which is the first official day of fall, that anywhere in September still counts as a September or as a summer wedding. So that's ludicrous.
No.
September 17th wedding is not a summer wedding.
I know this is not technically by the calendar, but to me, summer is over Labor Day weekend.
Agreed. It's Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yes.
The weather may not agree because the month of May has been terrible, or the month of June has been terrible so far in terms of weather on the weekends, but it's Memorial Day. Because I think for me, summer's not just about like the calendar. It's about a vibe.
So this is probably going to be a 2026 wedding is what you're saying?
Probably.
Thinking? Yeah, because I was going to say 2025 yes. wedding. You guys, if you want to get married by September, geez.
No.
What happens? So she wants a September wedding.
She does.
What happens if Penn State has a college football big game on a Saturday?
Well, the only quote-unquote, and I say this begrudgingly, good news about Penn State's crappy non-conference schedule is that for the most part, they don't play many big games in September.
Who did they play last year that they almost lost to? Was it Bucknell?
Central Michigan. It was a little bit back and forth. A little dicey.
No, they had a really, I don't think it was Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, yes.
It was Bowling Green.
Bowling Green. Bowling
they had
Green.
Couldn't
get a stop defensively.
I was in Pennsylvania, and they had a horrible first half.
Yeah, they were very bad.
I was at a wedding.
Very bad. So, I mean, if God forbid it is a September wedding next September, I mean, it's probably going to be against Villanova, Cornell, Bucknell, Delaware, whatever.
I have the schedule here for 2026.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
September 5th, Marshall. September 12th, Temple at the Link.
Big game.
And then Buffalo to 19th.
Oh, boy. Heavy hitters there.
Now, hold on. Oh, Temple still has a program then. It's my school. As I'm doing a
heavy hitters,
the social media department there has me doing a day in the life of Zach Gelb today. So they had me do this on a story about 2 months ago, and now they want to do a reel of a day in the life.
So what time did you wake up? 3 a.m.
No,
face in Saratoga spring water.
The day in the life starts when I walk to work is when I did it.
We got to get the whole wake up. We got to get through the routine. We got to see the morning routine.
I'm like Joey Logano. I don't allow the cameras in the home. All right. I didn't want the cameras in the home.
Okay.
I didn't want the cameras in the personal life.
So as soon as you step out of
the
apartment to walk to work, that is when the day in the life of Zach Gelb starts.
And I'm going to the NBA draft tonight, so I gave him a good visual, too. So I'm going to the draft tonight.
Oh, so today you're doing it. We're doing it right now.
Yeah, well, you're not going to make the cut.
Why not?
Yeah, I can't put a loser Penn State guy on
the This is part of the day in the life. You're interviewing a Penn Stater. I'm on the show. This is the show.
Yeah.
You got to show people the show. It's not just I'm going to walk to work. I'm at work. Now I'm at the NBA draft.
You didn't fit in the camera lens. You talk with your hands too much. Your hands go past the lens. It's not going to work out. Anyway, we made news yesterday. We made a lot of news yesterday.
I saw that a lot.
The Jason Kidd. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Like working with me. the Jason Kidd stuff with Scoopy Robinson. And then we had Lenora Sellers on. And Lenora Sellers, we turned garbage into gold on that interview, if I may add, because it was not a good interview. Sheesh. Could be a Colts quarterback, by the way.
Could definitely could be.
Anyway, Lenora Sellers joined us. And earlier in the day, or maybe it was the day before, Pete Nakos is doing a great job with all these interviews. He just had Kate Klubnik on, and Kate Klubnik talked about how he came to Clemson to win a national championship, and right, he wants to win a national championship like how Deshaun Watson did and how Trevor Lawrence did and all that stuff. But anyway, Nakos had Thomas Castellanos on, who got benched by BC last year, all right?
That's right.
I love saying it. I got benched by BC. And this guy, who's at Florida State, it's a big year for Florida State. It's a big year for Mike Norvell.
Huge.
But do I feel comfortable with their quarterback situation? No. And he goes, I don't fear basically Alabama anymore. They don't got Nick Saban. And I don't think they're going to be able to stop me. Now, we looked up the spread. What was it yesterday, Stu? 12 points?
12 and a half.
12 and a half. I'll be laying 12 and a half points on Alabama. Roll Tide come week one on August 30th, I believe the game is. But anyway, Lenora Sellers said that Alabama is still Alabama. So I'll ask you this. How do you view Alabama going into this college football season?
I view them not as maybe still like Nick Saban peak Alabama, but I think they're a notch below in the sense of, like, I don't think they're winning a national title this year. But I think they are, when you look at their schedule, I think they can go 10-2. I think they make the cultural playoff. I think they can win a playoff game. And I think slowly get back to being a team that all of a sudden now, in 2 or 3 years, is again in the shortlist like they were under Nick Saban, or any time around this time of the year, we're talking about who can win a national title. You can't name more than two teams without saying Alabama. I don't think they're there yet this year. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get there very, very shortly. So, like, I think, again, they're to me, I think they're a step below what Nick Saban had them at right now, which is still, mm-hmm. I think, a very impressive program. It's still a team that's not to be messed with.
Oh,
that
boy.
Will continue to rise up the ranks here under Kalen DeBoer very quickly.
Here's their schedule. You want it?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Go win loss. At Florida State.
Win.
Can I even say the team name before you
it's
say
it? It's going to be a beatdown.
You could do your wedding on September 6th. Alabama plays Louisiana Monroe.
Can't miss that one. Can miss
it's
Louisiana
Monroe.
At 7:45,
though, so you would actually miss it if it was a wedding.
Oh, boy. All right. Prime time. I'll win.
Wisconsin.
Win.
If the Wisconsin QB didn't get hurt last year, that was an interesting game.
Wisconsin's in
it right
now.
Georgia.
Turmoil. Loss.
Okay. Vanderbilt.
Win. Jacob Pavia. He's another guy running his mouth. He better be ready to go.
At Mizzou.
Win.
Tennessee.
Win.
At South Carolina.
Win.
LSU.
Win.
Well, that's going to be back-to-back Tennessee and South Carolina.
Not ideal.
And then LSU. That's tough. Oklahoma.
I'll say loss. I think LSU, Oklahoma, they split both at home, but I think they go 1-1 in that situation. So we said win for LSU. I'll say loss for Oklahoma.
This says EIU. Is that Eastern Illinois University?
Possibly. It's second last
yes.
game of the year.
Nice. Eastern Illinois nice University. Job. The Panthers.
Classic, the Panthers. I never want to bet against the Panthers in November, but we'll still do it anyway. Give me Alabama.
All right. So that's 9. Auburn at Auburn.
Win.
So 10 wins.
10 wins.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, I don't think they're a national title team this year. I think their quarterback situation is still
a
little
uncertain. They have to make the playoff this year.
Yes.
I know you like Kalen DeBoer. I love Kalen DeBoer. You can't go the first 2 years replacing Saban and miss the playoffs in both.
Especially when it's a 12, like, 4-team, okay, fine, a little bit tough. 12-team, I would agree. You got to make it. Especially now, like, Tennessee loses their quarterback. I know you have quarterback concerns yourself. That schedule, what may seem on the surface daunting, is very manageable. We're really outside of Georgia. Every big game you have is at home.
All right, so Samter sent me this list today, and it's from ESPN, 2026 NFL Draft, ranking the top 5 prospects at every position.
Ooh.
So it's Jordan Reed and it's Matt Miller.
Okay.
So Matt Miller's top 5 quarterbacks, Cade Klubnik,
mm-hmm.
Garrett Nussmeier,
okay.
Fernando Mendoza,
okay.
Lenore Sellers,
mm-hmm.
and Drew Aller. That's 1 through 5.
1 through 5.
Reed's top 5, Cade Klubnik, Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, Drew Aller, and Fernando Mendoza. So they had the 5 same quarterbacks, just different order.
Interesting.
Now, Samter asked me this before the show, and they do this thing. They said the toughest player to rank is Aller, right?
Okay.
And it goes, Aller, every quarterback in this class is tough to rank, but Penn State's passer is the toughest. He flashes brilliance with big arm and good mobility for his 6'5", 238-pound size, but his decision-making is very hit or miss, just like the Notre Dame game, especially against top opponents. His ability to clean up mental mistakes will determine where his stock goes as a senior. Aller could be the top QB in the class or slip to day 3. That's what Matt Miller said. Now, Reed said the player outside of the top 5 to watch, John Mateer, who's now at Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and he's transferred over to Washington State. Mateer has the makings of a riser. He broke out last season at Washington State, passing for 3,139 yards, 29 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions, while also rushing for 826 yards and 15 scores. He'll get a chance to perform on a bigger stage after transferring to Oklahoma. If Mateer excels against the SEC, along with a Week 2 non-conference game against Michigan, his stock will rise quickly. So Santer asked me this. He goes, where the heck is Arch Manning? Now, I said this in the offseason, like early in the offseason, when really it was around the draft when people talk about next year's class. I don't know if it's a slam dunk that Arch comes out next year, especially with we've heard all this hype for 2 years. He's played sparingly, I guess is the best way to say it. Now he's the full-time starter, whether it's he's not as great as what people thought or maybe this is by design that he goes and plays 2 years at Texas.
I think it's what you said last there. I like the Manning family, because I was kind of in the camp too, like, okay, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, he's going to play well at Texas, come out, and maybe the Colts can draft him if they're bad enough. I think he comes back in 2020, that'd be 2026. And it's like the Manning family's done, like, it's all been calculated. Right? They went to Texas for a reason. They want to play under Sark. They didn't care that Quinn Ewers, I'm sure they thought Arch is better than Quinn. They didn't care that Quinn was still playing. They didn't care that Arch played well in the few games that Quinn was out injured, and then Quinn came right back and got the starting job. They have handled this differently than probably 99% of quarterback families have so far. And it said that they view, like, they're looking at a 20-year plan, not just where can I get the most money, where can I play right now. Mm-hmm. I would probably say, you know what, they think, I bet you they're telling Arch right now, it's best for you to play multiple years at Texas. Play in the SEC, get big-time exposure, but also work on your game from year one to year two, so that when you go to the NFL, you'll be polished and ready to go off the bat. We also have seen quarterbacks that play more in college succeed quicker. Jaden Daniels is a 5-year starter. Bo Nix is a 5-year starter. I bet you they're saying the more time you play.
Multiple schools, though, for those guys.
Yes, yes, but also a lot of experience as well versus kind of the flash in the pan one.
Here's the thing, though.
1 year and go.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but if he balls out, I'm not even saying win a national championship. If he's a Heisman Trophy finalist, he's going to be the number one overall pick in the draft.
Right. Peyton came back. I mean, he was a top pick and came back.
I understand that, but
I mean, this is also the same family that said you're not taking any NIL deals your freshman year. So, like, I don't think they care, frankly. Like I don't think the money's going to impact them.
Yeah,
I think they expect Arch to be a number one pick, whether he comes out in 2026 or 2027. And it helps because you have a family, right? They've all done. You have grandpa, uncles that have played in the league. I just think they have that experience and will handle it differently than probably any other person in that situation would.
I'm going to put the ball on the tee for you tonight.
Okay.
I actually think this is a I don't know if that's a good hand motion to do into the camera,
well,
by the way.
I was getting my driver ready. I was trying to get I haven't played yet this year, so the swing is rusty. I'm trying to get my hands ready to go.
I think that you could actually get this one.
Okay.
Usually your predictions are wrong. By the way, I love when you announce your engagement. Congrats, Hot Take. Great job, Hot Take, Kiki. You know, yeah, hopefully she hasn't heard your sports takes. I thought some of the comments were very amusing.
Best take you've had in your life, yeah. Et cetera. A lot of innuendos towards bad predictions were made on Twitter.
Ace Bailey. So the Dallas Mavericks are going to take Cooper Flagg. Mm-hmm. Dylan Harper is going to go 2 to the Spurs. Yes or no? Ace Bailey, will the Sixers take him at 3?
I'd say probably no.
I would agree. I think they're going to take Vijay Edgecombe out of Baylor.
Baylor.
He does not want to go to the Hornets. He does not want to go to the Jazz, reportedly. Will the Hornets take him at 4?
I think here, should they or will they? I will say they should. I think you call his bluff. I think he's too talented to basically say, oh, he doesn't want to play. Like, he's not the first player in any draft to try to pull some strings and get out of it. See, Caleb Williams, I think you could try to win him over, and I would say it's worth the risk.
But if I say gun to your head, are they going to take him tonight? Because I think they're going to go Konkanipal.
Gun to my head, should, would. I know it's always, or should, yeah. Will. I'll say they will.
Okay.
I think they do should and will. Yes, number 4.
It'd be interesting.
Ace Bailey drops to 15. Don't come blaming me, all right? Do not come yelling at me for the hex.
I could just be wrong here, but I don't think the Sixers are taking him at 3. I agree. The Hornets or Jazz, if he's there, I would take him and say tough luck. I think they're both going to pass on him. And then I think the Wizards are probably the team where I think he's going to go to. The Wizards at 6. Pelicans and the Nets. I think he wants to go to the Nets, but
stay local.
I'm going to guess that he's going to go to the Wizards. It's going to be my guess.
It's a bold strategy in terms of, I mean.
Bold strategy, got it.
See how it works out for him.
Yeah. Last thing that I want to ask you here. When we get to this NBA draft tonight, I think another big story is Jason Kidd. And is Jason Kidd going to actually be coaching Cooper Flagg? Who's coaching the Knicks?
I will say at this point, I think it's Taylor Jenkins.
Okay.
Which I'd be happy with, honestly. I think he's a good offensive mind. He has, I think, better an arsenal to work with this Knicks roster versus what he had in Memphis. A star that's more reliable and healthy compared to John Morant. I would be happy with Taylor Jenkins. I think it's going to be him.
Has life been different for you the last few days since getting engaged? So you guys had the engagement was Saturday. Sunday, you just had a recovery day?
Yes, yes. Recovery day, kind of situate our life again and reassess for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Or reorganize, I guess.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all good?
All good, yeah.
Pretty, you guys pretty go normal. Out and celebrate just the two of you or something like that?
No, not yet. Maybe. But it's like, it's. I think when you're dating for 8 years, like, we both agree that's part of the reason why, like, we weren't in a rush to get engaged. Like, it doesn't really change anything. Outside of, like, literally a ring on her finger that she's trying to get used to, like, nothing's different.
Sam, do you have any old people advice to Hickey on how to get Sam ready to get set with the marriage and all this stuff?
She's right.
Yeah. Yes, dear. Learn how to say that over and over and over again.
Okay.
All righty.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yes. Oh.
The pain in Sandra's voice coming out of that.
Yeah,
she's right.
Geez.
You sound like a beaten man.
Are you all right? You don't seem happy for Hickey.
She's right.
You do not seem happy for Hickey. Sam's are off the list.
She's right.
All right.
Yeah, bring Ryan the paper shredder out.
Yeah, we're going to get you to say yes to that eventually. You know, when we get to July, in a few weeks, maybe we'll end up getting you to say yes to do that. Or August. How about August?
How about never, so I don't get fired?
You're not going to get fired.
I don't want people mad at me. I like everyone here. I don't need to just turn some people off because make a big charade of will you or will you not.
They're
going to
be mad anyways when they don't get invited.
What?
Yeah.
Like when
it's
they don't
fun
get
way
an
to
invite.
Let them off
they,
easy.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if Stu doesn't get invited to your wedding,
I'm going to be mad and either way.
No, but not even that. If you shred.
You're
going to
be mad if you're invited?
Stu, let me ask you a question. Stu.
Damn, Stu.
If you didn't get invited to. If we did this segment. And that's how you found out you weren't getting invited to the wedding. Wouldn't you think it's kind of funny that that's how you found out about it? Instead of, like, let's just say it's not going to be 3 months, but 3 months, you don't get to save the date or a wedding invitation.
Yeah, once I find out, Hickey's getting married in 3 days, and I was like, oh, where's the invitation? Yeah,
I think it makes it less uncomfortable for people. People tell me they're now uncomfortable to be around you because they don't want to ask you the big question on if they're going to get invited to the wedding.
We got a long way before a date is even set, before we even know where
Hickey,
we're getting married, how many
you know
people
me.
Are going to go.
I only look out for what's in the best interest of Ryan Hickey.
Always.
I am one of your biggest supporters here at the network. I think you get your affairs in order. You get an idea of what this wedding's going to look like, and then we bring out the paper shredder.
Bring out the paper shredder. Put on a hard hat, and let's shred some faces.
Chris Oliveiro, the big boss. Get him to the wedding.
And you're out of a job. The key card is not worth the next day.
There's a midday opening. Oh, yeah, Chris is getting in. All righty, we'll come on back with the news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's hear Cooper Flagg. He was on the Today Show on NBC. Never has beat his mom in basketball. Let's listen up to this one. Go ahead.
You used to play one-on-one against mom in the driveway.
I did.
Who would win?
So I never beat her, actually. I was up 7-6, and then she fell and tore her meniscus in our last game, and then we never played again. So I counted as a win, but because she forfeited and I was up, but she won't give me the win.
Well, she forfeited because she tore her meniscus.
Yeah, but I was winning.
Two things. Number one, I laughed because that was a dark turn. Oh, yeah, mom tore her meniscus. And number two, kind of badass by Cooper Flagg's mom tearing her meniscus while playing her son in a game of pickup basketball. Do you ever beat your dad at a sports, though?
No, I don't think so. We played basketball, but that was really about it. Yeah.
I sent my dad flying once. Because when I was younger, I did not beat my dad in basketball. And then when I got a little bit bigger and a little bit taller in high school, I said to him, hey, let's play. And I was down in the post, and my dad does not have good knees. And I kind of made a move, and he went flying. And he goes, I'm done playing you. So now we just play each other in golf. And my dad's a better golfer than me. But I beat my dad, I think, like 3 times in golf. I thought I had him 2 weeks ago when we were playing. I thought I had him. And then just one hole, I blew up on it. I had no chance of actually them beating him. Let's go to Cooper Flagg. He gave the reason why he reclassified to go to Duke early.
A quote my mom likes to say a lot, you know, if you're the best player in the gym, then you need to find a new gym. So for me, it was about thinking about what I had left to do in high school and, you know, how much that would push me to you know, become a better player. So for me, that decision wasn't too hard. So I kind of just made that decision based on that. I felt like it was time for me to kind of get to a new environment and push myself to higher levels.
And let's go to Dylan Harper. I'm potentially going with the second overall pick in the draft, as many people do expect him to land in San Antonio.
The NBA, you never truly know until it happens. So, I mean, ain't nothing set in stone until tomorrow at 8 o'clock. But there's been high hopes, and I love that organization. Love every other organization, so just going to stay open.
So let's go to Ace Bailey. Did not end up working out for any teams, trying to dictate where he's going to go, get him bad advice, often viewed now as an immature player. Ace Bailey had a chance to discuss all this because they do the pre-draft media availability yesterday in New York City. And this is Ace Bailey when he got a chance to talk to the media.
Focus on basketball. I mean, end of the day, it's basketball. I mean, don't worry about the other stuff. I let my people around me handle that. The only thing I'm focused on is the basketball part.
But do you feel like people get the wrong perception of you?
I feel like I can only control what I can control. I mean, you can think how you think, but I can control what I can control.
So what can you control?
Me playing basketball.
But you could have
controlled
the workout.
So. I'm focused on basketball. That's what I said. It's basketball.
He kind of Marshawn Lynched them, which I'm fine with. Like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Or Bill Belichick.
No, we're on Cincinnati. We're on the Cincinnati.
Ace Bailey's just there to talk basketball. I think I knew who the reporters were. One sounded like Keith Pompey. And the guy that sounded a little bit more nasally, I think that was Zach Brezalier. I think that was him. Who was like, well, you can control if you go to the workouts or not. Which is a good job there by the media. And he could answer it the way that he wants to answer it. Here's VJ Ezcombe, who's expected now to go number 3 with Ace Bailey trying to duck the Sixers. Here is VJ on the best part of his game.
I feel like I'm a lead defender, but I also have ways to go. But, you know, I'm just willing to play defense with all my heart. I know if there's anything I can do on the floor to impact a game, it's by guarding. And that's something I'm ready to do for sure.
So obviously a good answer there when you lead with your defense. We talk about the criticism of Ace Bailey. Here was Paul George. I guess he's podcasting again on Podcast P. And this was Paul George on Ace Bailey.
If I'm Ace Bailey, I can't get mad if my stock drops. He's canceled all workouts. Like, he hasn't worked out for any team.
Not one team?
No.
That's crazy.
He hasn't worked out for any
team. He's tripping.
You're not in a position to be making those demands. Make it to the league first.
You think that's him or the people around him?
It's for sure the people around him.
Gotta be, right?
For sure the people around him. I don't think they're going about it the right way.
That, again, is just seems bold.
That's a kid that's been paid in college, bro. I got money. I don't care. I would tell you where I want to go. Yeah, I got money now. This is a business. If I'm going to put my money behind you, I need to know that you're going to represent us well. It's almost the me before the team, before he's on a team. He's not wrong for wanting to be a number one option. I'm with him all the way. The way of going about it is just not right.
I do wonder how players, like veterans, if he walks into that locker room, how veterans are going to treat him. Because if there is a cockiness there, and if he's not willing to take some of the lumps that the rookies have to usually take, and, you know, not rookie hazing, but you get the point, I do wonder how that's going to mesh with some of the veterans. Like, Shedeur Sanders, I don't think there's been any... the speeding's different. But in terms of him meshing with the teammates, I don't think there's been any issues. And the way that we talked about Ace Bailey is not similar to Shedeur Sanders, but the way that they're navigating the pre-draft process, both definitely deserving of a lot of criticism. Here is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This is after winning the championship. The next morning, right, you got to get up and go on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts on ABC. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was definitely a little bit tired.
NBA champion. That have a good ring to you, SGA?
Yeah. it's everything I imagined it to be. The opportunity has been amazing, and I'm happy and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Okay, have you been to sleep, Shai? Have you been? Because you look a little sleepy. Did you get any rest since last night?
I got some rest, not as much as I'd like, but hey, you only live once.
So he's either very tired, severely hungover, or he sounds as if 12 minutes past the time that's usually associated with a certain act that we don't need to accuse him of, but that's the way that we'll do it without saying it. He sounded as if it was a Saturday night and he's just kind of chilling after taking a gummy bear, let's just say. That's the way that sounded right there. Here is Aaron Wiggins at the parade, and they did some speeches in the stadium, and this was an awesome moment.
It was a point where they tried to call us the black hole of the NBA. Boo! But 4 years later, when they mentioned the Thunder organization, when they mentioned Clay Bennett, when they mentioned Sam Presti, when they mentioned Mark Dagnall, and every single one of you in this arena, they got to mention you as NBA champs.
That's awesome. Let's hear Jalen Williams. This is on to ESPN. So we had this question the other day, right? He gets to the podium. He goes, oh, I just had my first drink. Basically, he was feeling a little loopy. And a lot of people said it was his first drink ever. Other people just thought, oh, maybe it was his first drink of the night. Here was Jalen Williams on that.
Yesterday was my first time drinking ever. Like, I never had a drink up until that point. And the beginning of the season, the guys want me to drink. That's like the big thing for them. I don't know why, but I told the beginning of the year, I was like, we win a championship, I'll drink. I'll do whatever you guys want. I'll drink champagne. We could do shots. So we kept getting closer during the season. And I was like, I'm going to have to drink. So I drank a little bit. I had a couple shots, champagne. I had beer. It was all disgusting. I'm going to stick to Shirley Temples. I had a lot of those yesterday and a lot of water.
Are you never going to do it again?
I'm retired. I can't speak on the parade, though. I don't want to.
Okay, so TBD. We'll see what happens.
I kind of respect it. I do. Hey, Stu, did you ever get tired of drinking?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, there have been points where I'm like, I don't really feel like anything.
I can't ask Samter this question because he told us what yesterday is, a drink every night. Isn't that what you said yesterday, Samter?
I did not have a drink yesterday.
Oh, okay. And you're lying all the time to us today.
No, no, I have a drink. We said 3 to 5 drinks a week. Yesterday just wasn't one of them.
Okay. I you know what? I don't want to give up drinking because I do enjoy a drink here or there. But sometimes you get put in these situations. I was like, oh, yeah, we're drinking. And I'm like, ugh. I don't want to feel like crap the next day if I'm just being honest. Finally, let's go to Steve Spurrier. This is on another duly noted podcast with Pat Dooley. Steve Spurrier is not sold on Arch Manning.
Most people are picking Texas to win the SEC football. They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman, too. Yep. And my question is, if he was this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time last year?
Even though he was hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he still...
And he was a 7th-round pick.
Yes.
You only have to ask the coach, Sark, yeah. You know, how come you played that one instead of this one? Hopefully he'll say, because we thought he was better than that one.
Yeah.
Isn't that why you played one guy and not the other? Unless it's a discipline, and there was no discipline or anything.
You were never hesitant about pulling guys.
One guy struggling, give the other guy a chance.
All righty, so there you go. That was Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll get to fan behavior at sporting events. And also, I got to play you this audio on Josh Kroenke and what he said yesterday about Nikola Jokic. And there are... just dumb things to say and things that you should avoid talking about, even if there's some truth about, you know, behind them. And then there's this. So we'll get to this on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, it is a Zach Gelb show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Samter and Stu, I'm going to text you something right now. And we're going to have to do some emoji analysis. Because yesterday we had Scoopy Robinson on. And Scoopy said that Jason Kidd's dream job is to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks. And now he just has to find a way to leave Dallas and get to New York. So I posted this on my Instagram, or the IG, as the kids would say. And this thing blew up, kind of. And it's been getting a ton of comments. And one of those comments was from Jason Kidd's son, TJ Kidd, who you remember when Kidd was playing on the Nets and he would always be sitting courtside. Now, I don't know where their relationship is at right now, TJ Kidd and Jason Kidd. I remember a few years ago, he had a very emotional Instagram post saying that he doesn't talk to his dad much. So I don't know if they do talk. I don't know if they have a relationship anymore or not. But we need to do some emoji analysis here, because TJ Kidd left two emojis on the post. And is there anything that we could take from this? So, Samter, Stu, let me know when you get them. And one of the emojis is kind of the thinking emoji, where you put your thumb and your index finger, and you end up like going, like kind of like what the Rizzler does. And then the other one, how would you describe that? The first emoji.
Well, it reminds me of The Rock. It's one eyebrow raised. Yeah, it's kind of like inquisitive. Raised.
Yeah.
A little inquisitive with the eyebrow raised. Got my attention.
Now, I've always said this. We should have an emoji analyst here at the Infinity Sports Network, or for Odyssey. Just someone that could analyze emojis. Is there anything to analyze here? Is there anything to discuss here when it comes to our interview with Scoopy Robinson talking about how Jason Kidd's dream job would be coaching the Knicks, and then Jason Kidd's son is commenting with two emojis on it?
So both of those emojis are like, you've piqued my interest kind of things, not necessarily making any sort of definitive statement, right? If you put like a Pinocchio, that'd be like a lie,
yes.
Right? You put a cap, that's a lie.
Yes.
So there's
look at you, Samter, knowing cap, impressed.
He knows, wow.
Yeah, he puts an eggplant, that's a whole other story. No.
Take it easy there. Calm down.
But
this is a family-friendly show here. This is a PG-13 show.
Dude, I love me some eggplant parmesan. Yes. Delicious.
You love to eat that eggplant, let me tell you. What? Eggplant parmesan. You got to love it. But I'll stop being a jackass. Go ahead. Continue.
It's all right. I think both of these are very innocuous, kind of like, oh, that's an interesting comment, but not like a, hey, like you're onto something. If you had like the magnifying glass kind of means like, hey, like
watching it.
Yeah, I'm watching it. You're onto something. The two eyeballs, like, hey, you know, you got something there.
Mm-hmm.
What I found more interesting, though, was the response to the response. The response to TJ Kidd is Scoop B with the two eyeball emojis.
Oh, you got the two eyeball emojis.
And so Scoop B is now saying, hey, I see you, which then makes me think that maybe he's kind of having some sort of response to TJ Kidd. So that, I think, is more interesting to me. Not interesting, but more...
compelling?
Compelling.
Stu, anything to look into with these emojis?
I think Samter pretty much nailed it. I mean, again, if he... It's definitely not saying that this is a lie. It's almost like, okay, maybe there's something there.
Yeah, I don't really know how to look into it. Because the eyebrow raised... See, here's the thing that I'm struggling with. There was that article that he doesn't really talk to his dad that much. I don't know if that's improved through the years. Full disclosure, I do not. I do not know that. Is this maybe the first time he's hearing that is maybe the way that he took it? Because his eyebrows are raised in one, so as in, wasn't expecting to see that. And then it's the thinking kind of emoji where it's like, let me ponder that a little bit more.
Now, according to Google, the eyebrow raise emoji...
Oh, what does that mean?
...generally expresses skepticism, suspicion, or disbelief. Not necessarily like they don't believe it, but more like, wow, shocking.
Okay.
So it's more like shock or I'm not so sure about that. And then the thinking emoji obviously is the thinking emoji.
What did you use to get this? What website?
Google.
Oh, Google.
Yes,
sorry.
I'm not sure if you've heard of it before.
Well, it's kind of... Remember back in the day when you didn't know some terms and you would go to urbandictionary.com? That's what I wondered if there was an emoji website for that. But you just say that it's the Google. Okay, that makes sense. So let's get to something real serious here.
Lay Google.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
By the way, I'm trying to forget about this. But I had a lot of DMs about that last night, Instagram and Twitter. People were not happy with you, Mike, for the whole industry. That's the way that it's pronounced. So you just wanted to call it industry. I got two handfuls of DMs on Twitter and Instagram last night where people were irate with your performance during that segment yesterday.
I thought about it a little bit more on my scooter back to Grand Central, okay?
Oh, boy.
The name of the restaurant is Industry. The L means the. It's the industry. It's the industry. You don't say, I'm going to the industry.
The name of the restaurant, though.
Yeah, it's, but there's a lot of places called the blank, and you don't use the, right? The Smith is a restaurant. You don't call it the Smith.
You said you were on a scooter?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Were there any close calls yesterday?
Not yesterday. Oh, okay. No, not yesterday, because there are people who were waving me down, being like, I don't call it the industry either. So from now on, if you're going to call it industry, call it the industry.
When you're scooting home later, if someone opens up a car door real quickly, they may be a fan of law industry, and they may not like the way that you're going about that. The player in the Diamondbacks, it's Ketel Marte, right?
Yes.
So his mom, I didn't know this. His mom died in a car accident circa 2017, if I remember reading this correctly. So they're playing the Chicago White Sox last night. And a White Sox fan, I guess, heckled him about that. You know, I just don't understand people anymore. I really don't. You want to go to a game and tell someone, oh, boo, you suck. Or you want to make fun of someone and be like, you know, whatever you would say. Like, whatever, like, good, fun-natured ribbing that you would do. But you're bringing up a guy's dead mother? And I read that the kid was 22. I don't even care. I read in this article, the kid was 22 years old and he was remorseful. But what an a-hole this kid is. Like, what, were you raised by a pack of wolves? Seriously. I don't care if you're drunk. I don't care if you're high. I don't care if you're stupid. You're going to a ballpark. You're sitting there. This guy is at his work. I understand if you say, oh, boo, you suck. Or you make a joke. But to bring up the guy's dead mother? F you. Seriously. It's disgusting. And he has to deal with that. And he's crying, obviously. And I feel horrible for him. This was Tori Lovello on the whole incident with this a-hole of a fan and his player, Ketel Marte.
Yeah, it was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty and fans go too far sometimes. I love my players and I'm going to protect them. I've known Ketel for 9 years and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well and some really, really tough moments in his life. And I know those. At the end of the day, we're human beings and we have emotions and I saw him hurting and I want to protect him.
First off, hats off to Tori Lovello, number one. But number two, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a decent person or maybe it's because I'm appalled by a lot of behavior that I see at sporting events. But there's a difference in, like, telling a player to F off, which shouldn't happen, right? There's a difference in booing a player. There's a difference in making fun of someone because they're wearing the other team's jersey. You know, obviously, enough about Ketel Marte to know that his mother died. And you're going to use that against him? You know what? I would have no problem if Ketel Marte went in the stands and beat the you-know-what out of that guy. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Just terrible, awful human being. And you know, I would like to know the guy's name. I would. All of a sudden, a 22-year-old did it. No, I want to know the guy's name. I want to know who it is. That person should be embarrassed. That person should be plastered all over the internet today. And we should know who that is. Just ridiculous. You want to go to a sporting event, you want to have fun, but before those words come out of your mouth, do you have a heart? Do you have a soul? Clearly not. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We're coming on back. We'll talk about what Josh Kroenke said next.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.